Australians are being warned to reconsider travelling to Turkey in the wake of the attack on the Ataturk airport in Istanbul. 36 people are confirmed dead, though the number could be as high as 50, and at least 150 have been injured after three attackers opened fire on crowds before blowing themselves up. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has conveyed his sympathies and condolences to the Turkish people while condemning the attack.
They are a murderous criminal movement seeking to create division and destruction and make us turn on each other. And it is very important that at times like this, Australians stay united and recognise that our successful multicultural society is built on a strong foundation of mutual respect.
Foreign Minister Julie Bishop says no Australians have been confirmed dead. She's also condemned the killings.
This is another appalling act of terror. The Turkish government, Prime Minister Yildirim and President Erdogan, have indicated that the Turkish government believes that these attacks were carried out by ISIL or Daesh, although that is yet to be confirmed.
Comparisons are being drawn on this attack with the attack in the Brussels airport earlier this year, and questions are being asked about whether Turkey is putting appropriate security measures in place to deal with the threat of terrorism, whether it comes from ISIL or from Kurdish militants known as the PKK, who claimed responsibility for two previous suicide bombings, as international security expert John Bruni explains.
If we take this comparison between what happened in Belgium to what's happened in Turkey, in Belgium, there were some very grievous flaws with Belgian security. Belgium internationally is known as has a very small geopolitical footprint. It's known for making chocolate and being the home of NATO and the EU. There are structural issues with regard to security in Belgium. In Turkey, it's a totally different kettle of fish. With Turkey, they've got a highly professional security force. They've been fighting with the PKK for the last 32 years. The fact that there's been this apparent lapse in security in Istanbul airport is just incredible to think of, because obviously there are two things that fly out from this. Either there was a degree of incompetence with regard to Turkish security, which I find very surprising, or there has been a deliberate omission in the security apparatus to allow these people in to do what they did.
That's a pretty serious allegation.
It's certainly something that can't necessarily be pushed out as an explanation, because President Erdogan has been pushing his Islamist agenda quite significantly. When we talk about Turkey and we talk about the politics that goes on there, yes, we can talk about Turks versus Kurds within Turkey, but there is also a split within the Turkish people themselves with regard to how they view their president and his push for Islamism throughout Turkey. Turkey was, for many decades, it was very much a secularist state. Under Erdogan's leadership, he's been rolling back very steadily the whole concept of secularism in Turkey. So while Turkey is still very much a great exporter of goods, an industrial powerhouse, it also has this kind of political funk to it, where Ankara now is starting to look less sophisticated and a little bit more backwards in terms of how it's approaching its own politics.
How is Turkey managing the war, if you like, on two fronts, that is, against ISIL, Islamic State, and against the Kurds?
Not particularly well. On the one hand, the Turkish government, and here I have to be very careful because it's not all members of the Turkish government. The Turkish government is a very vast enterprise, so there'll be some officials within the Turkish domain who have reached out to various members of IS who have actually blatantly used IS in order to destabilize Kurdish interests, both within Turkey and also in neighboring Syria. Some of these more corrupt officials may very well have allowed a much closer operating structure with certain IS groups in the Syrian space. So they could be very much used as proxies in order to destabilize or put the blame on the Kurds for crimes that actually are the responsibility of IS. So again, you see that there is the possibility of the hand of at least part of the Turkish government stirring the pot and complicating things, so people really don't know who is the actual villain in the piece, if you will.
The Turkish government have been attempting to counter Islamic State with a number of arrests and raids, and there is a sense that Islamic State is losing ground both in Iraq and in Syria. Could this attack be a retaliatory attack by the Islamic State for those arrests and raids and an attempt to reassert itself given its slippage in those other two key countries?
Many people have been suggesting that as Islamic State loses territory in Syria and Iraq, that they will start going back to a default setting. And the default setting is that they were no more than a terrorist organization before they seized territory. And if they lose territory, they'll go back to just being a terrorist organization and lash out against their enemies in their stock standard fashion. This obviously is something that we have to take into consideration. While there is some form of cooperation between Turkey and IS in order to destabilize Kurdish interests, Turkey and IS are not one and the same. They still march to two different agendas. And so they would be considered, in one sense, fighting a common threat, which is the Kurdish entity, but they have this alliance, if you will, but it's a very tempestuous alliance because Ankara wants to use Islamic State fighters to destabilize the Kurds. The Islamic State fighters want to retain territory, and by doing so, they will have to lash out against the Kurds and whoever else is out there that seems to be an enemy of theirs.
Director of SAGE International, John Bruni.